You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I am your host, Megan Mandeville. Today we will be speaking with Judge Betty Adams Green of the Davidson County Juvenile Court in Tennessee. Since 1998, Judge Green has served as judge of the Davidson County Juvenile Court in Tennessee. She has worked in corrections for more than 30 years, advocating for the well-being of young offenders. From 1988 to 1995, Judge Green served as commissioner designee and then commissioner of the Tennessee Department of Youth Development. As commissioner, she proposed and implemented several innovative programs, making Tennessee a recognized leader in the juvenile justice field. Judge Green is also a former vice president and founding member of the Council of Juvenile Correctional Administrators. She has served as both vice president and president of the American Correctional Association, and she has been active on the ACA Executive Committee, Board of Governors, Standards Committee, and past President's Council. During her career in juvenile justice, she has received many awards, including the Tennessee Correctional Association's Professional of the Year Award in 1996, and most recently, the ER Task Correctional Achievement Award, which is ACA's highest honor. Today, she will discuss the juvenile death penalty. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Judge Green.
Well, thank you.
Just to start things off, I'm interested, in your opinion, should there be a set age below which juveniles are not eligible for the death penalty?
Well, I think we have a set age under the current Supreme Court decisions in this country. Currently, under 17, juveniles are not eligible for the death penalty. So, actually under 16, I believe it is. So we do right now have a cutoff. Many states have also taken the initiative to just completely ban the death penalty for crimes that are committed by juveniles while in the minority status, even though they're transferred to the adult court. So I think we've kind of de facto established a 16 as a cutoff for the death penalty in the United States. So I think the question becomes, do we need just to outlaw the death penalty for all juveniles who are committed of any offense while they are still in the juvenile system? And I would say that we probably do.
Now, how has the national consensus regarding the issue shifted since the late 1980s?
Well, I think the shift has come largely as a result of death penalty decisions as opposed to the decisions in the juvenile system. I think as issues have been raised about the fairness of the death penalty in general, that has created a movement, or regenerated maybe a movement, to do away with the death penalty for juvenile offenders. I think what has to happen in this is we have to balance the interest and the needs of the community with the fairness of our justice system. I think, you know, all the cases have talked about the death penalty serving two primary social purposes, one of those being retribution and the other being the deterrence of capital crimes by prospective offenders. Well, obviously, retribution, I suppose death penalty is the ultimate retribution. But as to the deterrence of crimes, I just don't believe that most juveniles plan out and consciously consider that they will ever be caught or ever face the death penalty, and I think that you would have to assume that for deterrence to be an objective. Now, that's not to say that there's not a strong societal interest in getting these young people off the street, and some of them off the street forever, but that can still be accomplished short of the death penalty for juvenile offenders.
Now, do you believe that juveniles as a group are less culpable than adults for the crimes they commit?
No, I think everyone is culpable when they commit a crime. I think the issue is what direction we take in the punishment phase of that activity. Obviously, you have to hold people accountable when they break the law. And I think the juvenile system has represented the culpability for juvenile offenders who have broken a law. And there are plenty of people that would say we've been a colossal failure at that. And quite frankly, I think we have left a lot to be desired in the juvenile system over the years, and I don't think we've always been responsible. But I do think that the issue is not whether or not they're culpable, but what dispositional options should be used as a result of that behavior. Certainly they should be accountable.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Judge Betty Adams Green of the Davidson County Juvenile Court in Tennessee. And getting back, do you believe that international opinion should factor into the decision regarding the juvenile death penalty that the Supreme Court is currently faced with?
I think it's one of many things that should factor into it. I do not think it should be the controlling issue. But certainly there are a number of issues that have to be factored in, and I think to eliminate any would make the decision less than comprehensive. And I think that what we're all looking for in this business is a resolution to the problem, the concerns that are out there right now. Now, a lot of states have addressed this already, short of any Supreme Court intervention. In our state, in the state of Tennessee, any juvenile that is transferred to the adult court, tried as an adult, for a crime that was committed as a juvenile offender, cannot receive the death penalty. They can get life without parole in prison, but they are not eligible for the death penalty. And I think that that is a good compromise on these cases. And I think it also takes it out of the political realm. And let's face it, there is a political issue here. And allows the cases to be judged on the merit.
Now, many civil rights activists are confident that the Supreme Court will ban the juvenile death penalty when it issues the ruling in Roper v. Simmons. And do you believe that we're about to see an end to the juvenile death penalty?
I think it's entirely possible. I think that as a former prosecutor, that would not particularly disturb me, because I think trying juvenile offenders in front of criminal court juries is a real questionable practice anyway. They come in and they are obviously children, no matter how heinous the crime. They're still coming in as a minor. And I think juries are very reluctant to convict, particularly when the death penalty is on the table. Now, having said that, there are plenty of these young people that are extremely dangerous, and they do not need to be turned back on the street. So I think we have to recognize that, and if we do away with the death penalty for juveniles, I think we have to be willing to say and acknowledge that some of these crimes are so heinous, and the situations that are presented by them have shown so much premeditation and so much total disregard for human life, that there needs to be the accountability that comes with either an extremely long prison sentence or maybe even life without parole as an option. I think what the public is concerned about is a slap on the wrist and sending these kids back into the community with no accountability and no consequences for their behavior. I blame a lot of this on the way our juvenile system has focused in the past. We've talked completely about treatment and rehabilitation of the child, and we have not focused as much as we should have on the right of the community to live in a safe environment. And we're going to have to do a much better job of that if we're going to balance the needs of minor offenders with the needs of the community. But I think it's extremely likely that there will be a decision that does say it, at least possibly raising the age to 17 would probably be the likely compromise, because there are a number of states where you are an adult at age 17, and the courts have talked about in Thompson versus Oklahoma, and then again in Stanford versus Kentucky, the decision in those cases focused heavily on what the laws in the various states were, and they recognized that in some states you are an adult at 16, in some states you're an adult at 18. So we don't have a clear definition, first of all, of what is an adult in this country. I've seen 45-year-old individuals that I didn't consider very adult, but by law, they have been adults, and they certainly are eligible to receive the death penalty if they commit certain crimes. So I think there are a number of issues that interplay here, and I think our Supreme Court has several options. They can either say just flat out that there will be no death penalty for crimes committed when individuals are juveniles, or they can set an age, currently at 16, they can establish it at 17, and go from there.
Now, what impact could any of these decisions have on the juvenile justice system? What do you see?
Well, a lot of states have in their laws a requirement that a juvenile who is transferred to adult court for trial, and that includes probably 100% of the young people that we're talking about today, They have in their law a provision that if they are transferred to the adult court, tried and convicted, that their sentence will at least be begun in the juvenile system. In other words, rather than being housed in a prison, if they are, say, 15 or 16 or 17 years of age, then they would go into the juvenile justice system of that state until they reached 18 or 19 or whatever the age in that particular state is. So I think the impact on the juvenile justice system could be an influx of more heinous offenders coming into our juvenile programs. I don't know that that's a bad thing, but I think it's something we need to be aware of. Our focus has historically been on treatment and rehabilitation, with our programs being the type of program that a young person could work a program, cooperate with the program, and literally earn his or her way out of the system. Now, obviously, if a juvenile is committed for life without parole and begins serving that sentence in a juvenile facility, there's absolutely no incentive for that individual to cooperate with the program or work, because they're not going to be released regardless of what they do. And I think that's going to be a big impact on our institutional programs in the juvenile justice system. I think it's also going to have an impact on the age at which young people are transferred to our adult courts.
Great. Well, that concludes today's live talk. Thank you to Judge Betty Adams Green for joining us today to discuss the juvenile death penalty. Also, thank you to our audience for tuning in. To learn more about this topic, be sure to read this week's articles on the Corrections Connection at corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Megan Mandeville.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.